20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We've got the ultimate episode for you today. The episode that will tell you exactly how the Green Bay Packers will win the Super Bowl this upcoming season. What more could you possibly want? So the theme of this episode, the idea of this episode, is actually a three-part series. And I did this last year, and it was interesting last year because the Packers in 2023 were a blank slate. They were a mystery box wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in an unknown, wrapped in who knows what else. They were the complete, just, we had no idea. We had absolutely no idea what that team was going to be. You could have made an argument last season, and at least last offseason, that they were going to be a team that was going to finish last in the division. Like, could have been a 5-12 team, could have been a 3-14 team. No idea. You could have argued that maybe they would go on to have a significant playoff run. Super Bowl would have seemed a little aggressive at the time, but they didn't end up that far from it. They were, half a quarter away, maybe less, from beating the 49ers, going to, up against a Detroit team in Detroit that they already beat in Detroit earlier in the season. Yeah, there's still a lot of what ifs of what would have happened the remainder of that postseason, but they weren't that far off. And if you would have said that they finished 8-9, middle of the pack, that certainly would have seemed extremely reasonable. So last year at this time, I did all three scenarios. I said, here's how they will basically win the Super Bowl. Here's how they will finish like one of the worst teams in the league. And here's how they will finish sort of middle of the pack, or maybe more towards the realistic expectations. So we're going to do the same thing this year. And today I'm going to go through and show you exactly what would need to happen in order for the Packers to win the Super Bowl. Tomorrow, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. What if they took a significant step back? What would the conditions need to be in order for that to happen? Or if you're a Packer fan, which I'm assuming you are, what conditions do they need to avoid to make sure that that does not happen? And then on day three of this series, I'll go over more of what the realistic expectations are for the season and how we could potentially expect the season to actually play out. Now, what's different this season from last year, specifically with today's episode, is this is a team that I believe is a legitimate, true Super Bowl contender. Now, where they are on that spectrum, are they a top 5 Super Bowl contending team, a top 10 Super Bowl contending team? Where they are in that pecking order, I think that's a little bit more of an unknown. I think we need to see more of this team. And I think that we need to see how they respond to a little bit more pressure, a little bit more expectation in 2024. But I expect them to be at worst in the conversation. I expect them to be a playoff team. When you're a playoff team, you've got that puncher's chance. So it is a lot different in that regard to trying to sell you on why they would win a Super Bowl a year ago. It's a much easier conversation to have. But there are some conditions that I do think need to take place in order for that to happen. So the final premise here that we'll go over is, imagine that I got into my hot tub time machine and I went forward into the future to the end of the night on February 9th, 2025, and I told you, I saw with my own eyes, the Packers were Super Bowl champions. No question about it. We've got proof from the hot tub time machine. I came back and I told you about it. Here are some of the things that I think would need to happen in order for that to happen on February 9th in 2025. Number one, clear, obvious, easy. Sometimes those are the ones that we still need to go over, even though they are clear and obvious. They can't have the catastrophic injuries, right? This cannot be a team that has a Jordan Love injury. At least that would happen at the end of the year. Maybe they could have a 3-game stretch in the middle of the year and get by with it. But in the playoffs, they need Jordan Love healthy. I like Sean Clifford. I like Michael Pratt. I do not like their chances of going through and leading or guiding this team to a Super Bowl come January and February. No disrespect to them. Just they're probably not quite ready for that assignment just yet. So they need Jordan Love to be healthy. I would argue that they don't need to be perfectly healthy. I don't think that they need to be even like, I'll put it this way. I think they can have a couple core injuries. They're going to have a couple core injuries. They're just not going to stay perfectly healthy throughout the season. I go back to 2010. That team was significantly injured. Some big time players were out of the lineup that year. They won a Super Bowl. I think this team can handle some injuries, maybe even a couple key injuries. They have the depth, they have the talent, and I think they have sort of the mentality and also just the structure as a team to overcome that stuff. Like Goody has found talented, well put together role players at positions of need, just like over and over and over again on the fly, on the cheap. Oh, you need a corner? Well, let's go find Rasul Douglas off of a practice squad. Finds a Devondre Campbell on a 1-year, $2 million deal, you know, right before the start of training camp or right around there. I don't know if it was a mini camp OTA, right around there, right? Like Rick Wagner for absolutely nothing, you know, towards the end of it. And he goes on to start a bunch of games for the team that year. You know, he'll find a Ben Sims as a waived, undrafted free agent right before the start of the season and plays a not significant, but a real role within the team throughout the entire year. Like Goody's made for finding those sort of players in those situations. And it's a team that has a bunch of youth kind of everywhere. And outside of a Jordan Love injury, I think they can handle some injuries. I think they can handle some adversity when it comes to whatever this season injury-wise will throw at them. And we've seen Green Bay have some significant injury bad luck with David Bakhtiari, Christian Watson, Eric Stokes. We can go on and on, but they're going to need some level of injury luck. They can't probably go into January and February missing Rashawn Gary and Jair Alexander and Kenny Clark. And you get my point. So number one on the list, they have to avoid the catastrophic injuries and they can't be too beat up. There's a reason why it is said and it is real that this is a war of attrition when you go into this entire season. A 17-game season is incredibly long. It is extremely painful on these players' bodies and you're going to have injuries that pile up through the course of the year. You get into January and February and there are few, if any, teams that are operating at anywhere near 100%. So if Green Bay can be, that would be a huge bonus. I don't think they need to be. And I was going to put this towards the end of today's show, but I want to be crystal clear here. This is not a team that needs idealistic, perfect conditions. Last year's team, it felt like a little bit more where they needed like 20 things to go exactly right in order to make some spectacular run towards the Super Bowl. This team does not. They can go through a couple of these things. A couple of these things that we go through today might not need to be perfectly checked off on the list, but they do need to have some form of injury luck where they're not treading water with a bunch of backups throughout a huge chunk of that postseason. That's not going to be a recipe for success. So it's clear, it's obvious, it should go without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. They need to have some sort of injury luck. Number two, they just need to keep that arrow trending up. This is a young team. This is a ultra-talented team, and this is a team that is still developing and growing together. This is a team also that, even incredibly raw, with a quarterback making his first year as a starter, with a bunch of young wide receivers and tight ends and playmakers, with an offensive line that was still sort of kind of feeling each other out after losing David Bakhtiari, with a defense that, quite frankly, just wasn't good enough, and a special teams that still wasn't even remotely good enough. And they took the 49ers to the brink on the road with all those conditions that I just mentioned, with their extreme youth. They were still there. But all these young players, the youth at wide receiver, the youth at tight end, Jordan Love as a quarterback, Sean Ryan, Rashid Walker, all the rookies that they just drafted this year, Lucas Van Ness, Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, Carrington Valentine. We can go on and on. These are still guys that are trending up that theoretically, doesn't always work this way, we've seen it in the past, but theoretically should get better. They should be better than they were a season ago. And that's a scary thought to think of if you're an opponent to the Green Bay Packers. This team was raw and I don't even think understood that what they did should probably not have been super possible last year. That's a team that was extremely young, traded away their Hall of Fame quarterback, and was just in a really unique situation. And they said, screw it. And even midway through the year, things were not trending the right way. And I think they were almost like in a perfect way, naive enough to just say, we're just going to go and win a bunch of games and get ourselves in the conversation. They did. They go beat Dallas in Dallas. They get San Francisco and they almost beat them. Now, so many of those young players are more seasoned. They understand what playoff football is like. They got a playoff win under their belt. They got a tough playoff loss under their belt. And those are all things that are going to serve this team extremely well as they try to improve. But they've got to keep that arrow trending in the right direction. This cannot be a situation where, with the weight of expectations, they take a step back. Or a young team that gets overconfident because they did have that success in 2023, that now they don't put their foot on the gas pedal, they don't floor it, it's not all gas, no brake. It's just like, we got this, it's cruise control, and cruise control gets you nowhere. So they have to understand that while they were impressive as a young team a season ago, it's going to take even more work and more effort and just a greater intensity to do even what they did just a season ago, because teams that are opposing them are not going to take them for granted, and they're going to know exactly what they are capable of. Now, Green Bay counterbalanced some of this with, I think, another great draft, with grabbing guys like Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney in free agency. And again, some of these guys should be better, but this is going to take a team effort and overall the coaching staff. From Matt LaFleur to all of the positional coaches to the coordinators, they have to keep this trending in the right direction. The draft and develop, we are in the thick of still developmental territory. These guys have to master their crafts, because as good as they are already, they can be so much better. And that's what it's going to take to get you over the hump, is that ability to master what they should become and be the, I think, so many Pro Bowl caliber players that are on this roster to get to that level. I've talked about it a million and one times. It takes high-level talent. It's great that this team is packed with good players. They need to transform some of these good players and really good players into great players, into Packers Hall of Famers, into all pros, into high-end Pro Bowl caliber player. Like, that's what Green Bay needs to do. That developmental step needs to continue to take place, because you can win with good players. You can win with really good players. To win it all, you've got to have great players playing at a high level, and that's what this season needs to be continuing, is those guys taking that next step. Hey friends, wherever you are in your walk in life, whatever your financial situation is, and whatever phase of life you may be in, we're all working towards our financial goals in our own unique way. Whether it be purchasing your first house, buying a new car, or even setting plans to travel the world, bad, below average, or non-existent credit can hold you back from that next big purchase and can sidetrack those goals. That's where Kickoff comes in. Kickoff is the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit and hit those financial goals quicker. My favorite aspect of Kickoff, and the reason I recommend Kickoff to my friends and family, is because it's insanely easy to use. You can sign up for a monthly plan within minutes, and you can start building credit immediately for as low as $5. Plus, check this out. Users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points within the first month. 1 month, 30 points higher. That's because Kickoff is a safe, easy, and legit credit hack with no catch and no credit checks. And you can cancel at any time, hassle-free. Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store, and 98% are 5 stars. So join over 1 million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for $1. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payments and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. Number three on my list, the rise of Jeff Hafley. This defense, if they're to win a Super Bowl, will have had to have taken in a significant way. And we've seen the players in this defense adopt Jeff Hafley's philosophy and defense like in a blink of an eye. This is like, you know, somebody trying to talk you into something, you're just like, you had me at hello. Like they're in. And I think they were in a situation where just reading between the lines, don't think a lot of the players enjoyed the way that Joe Barry wanted them to play defense. I think, you know, we heard legitimately about Packers players going and saying that they needed to be more aggressive, like going into Joe Barry's office and kind of having those conversations. And now you have a coordinator that all of those things that the players were saying, play more aggressive, blitz more man-to-man coverage that we would see from time to time, but it never felt like Joe Barry fully wanted to adopt any of those ideas. Now you have a coordinator that's willing to give them all of those things. Man, you are going to have a defense that is motivated, that is jacked up and juiced up to play in these games and is going to do everything they can to make it succeed because it's going to feel like they have buy-in. It's going to feel like their ideas that they've been wanting are now listened to. And that buy-in is there right now in a huge way. But you do need some early success with that in order for it to completely sink in. It's one thing for players to buy in at this time of year. It's another if you don't start seeing the results. If all of a sudden in the Philly game and the Indy game early in the year, they're giving up 30 plus points per game, there's going to be some questions. There's going to be some doubts. There's going to be some, all right, are we doing things wrong? Like that's not what you want. But if Green Bay is going to go on a run, I don't even care if it looks great in week one against Philly or week two against Indy or week four against Tennessee. I don't care. This is a similar situation to where the offense was at a season ago. I wanted to see that offense in a first-year starting quarterback in Jordan Love playing their best football at the end of the year. Not necessarily to be making a run towards the Super Bowl with the offense last year, but just because I needed to see proof of concept and I wanted to see what that offense was capable of. So hopefully that would carry over into this year, into 2024. And now for the defense, it's slightly different. They can't just have the mentality of we need to get ready for 2025. This is a team that's ready to compete right now. But I want to see them playing their best football at the end of the season because that shows me that the work that they put in all throughout the course of the offseason, early in the season, probably some trials and tribulations they had to overcome midway, that it's paying off at the end of the year and that they're trending in the right way to hopefully put that playoff push together and play their best defense of the season at the right time. But Jeff Hafley's going to have to be at the top of his game, coordinating, calling plays, and making sure that he's putting together a game plan that's successful against these high-powered offenses in the NFL and in the playoffs. And he's going to really have to make sure that he is game ready for whatever adjustments need to be made in game, because that is something that Joe Barry and this defense has struggled with. Can he come up with something if the other team is gashing them in the run? Can he come up with something if whatever his plan is going into that game is not working? That's what I want to see from Jeff Hafley. The creativity, the ability to make changes on the fly, and the ability to have a defense that's multiple and creative in everything that they're trying to do. But in order for this team to be Super Bowl successful and take home that Lombardi trophy, this Jeff Hafley defense is going to have to be really good in year one at the right time, specifically at the end of the year. Number four, a normal run-of-the-mill average special teams. I've been asking for it for, I don't know, a decade, two decades, three decades now. I don't need them to be the number one special teams. I can't have them be the number 32 special teams. I just need them in that meaty part of the curve. Can you just be 14th through 18th? Anywhere in there, I will gladly take it. If I could sign a contract right now, if you said, Andy, I'll make a deal with you, they will be the 18th best special teams in the league, sign me up. Just sign me up. That's good enough for me. Because I think they have the ability to be a good defense, maybe a really good defense. I think they have the ability to be an epic offense. It just can't be another 31st, 32nd ranked special teams that loses them games in the most inopportune moments. In the last two playoff games against the 49ers, when they've lost, special teams has played a pretty significant factor in both of those games. Can't happen again. This is a big season for Rich Bisaccia. He needs to put up, this special teams needs to be, I'm just asking for 18th. I'm just asking for 18th. I'm not asking to move mountains. Just make it so that your status quo, middle of the road, and the offense and defense will do, hopefully, the heavy lifting for you. And with that is number five, a semi-reliable kicker. I don't need you, Anders Carlson, or whoever ends up being the kicker, to be automatic, you know, and we're talking about the next great kicker. I don't need that. But from 45 and under, Can you be semi, like, can you be pretty automatic from there? Anything 46 plus, I understand. There's going to be volatility. Can you make the extra points? If it's a 43-yard field goal in a playoff game, I want to feel comfortable. I want to feel like, yeah, they got this. I don't want to feel like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen here? With the kicker goes the long snapper and the holder as well. It comes as one, you know, package deal. But this field goal kicking team and the extra points, this is still a league with the parity where it's at, especially come playoff time. You cannot leave any points, you know, on the field. They have to be up on the scoreboard. You have to convert those opportunities. And every point that you take off the board, even if it's one extra point, will come back to haunt you. It will cost you. And we all have seen how that's gone in the past. So with that, run-of-the-mill average special teams, can you give me a semi-reliable kicker that at least is consistent from 45 and under? Number six, red zone efficiency. And specifically here, I want to talk a little bit more about the offensive line. You go back to 2020 when they were in the NFC Championship, and again, barring a Bakhtiari injury, you know, who knows what we're talking about, maybe one more ring in Green Bay, or one more, you know, Lombardi in Green Bay. That offensive line in that red zone offense was unbelievable in 20. And then you start losing the David Bakhtiaris and the Corey Linsleys, and the red zone offense hasn't been quite the same. And I've said for a while, I really equate that to the offensive line. If you want to have great success inside the 20, and specifically like in goal line situations, you've got to have a really good offensive line. You got to be able to move some people. You got to be able to run the football, which sets up your play action. It gets really difficult to throw in that extremely dense, tight space in the red zone, especially when you're inside the five. Everything tightens up. And, you know, those are plays that are high leverage. You know, defensive ends and edge rushers are even more motivated to get to the quarterback. And you've got to have a good offensive line if you want to have an efficient red zone offense. And I think guys here, specifically like Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan, Rashid Walker, those are the guys that have the ability to step up. I think Sean Ryan can be a really good run blocker. I really do. I think he'd be a really, really good run blocker. If he can step up and be that, that's going to help them in the goal line. I still think Rashid Walker has a lot more upside to give as a blocker, as a run blocker, excuse me, and help in the red zone situations. And Jordan Morgan is just pure, you know, untapped potential at this point. So if those guys can take a step, help your red zone offensive line, which is going to help your red zone offense, that's going to set this team up for success because we know they have the weapons. The Musgraves, the Crafts, the Watsons, the Wickses, those guys are going to be dangerous. Josh Jacobs, that's a tough group to defend in the red zone. We know Jordan Love has the ability to kind of maneuver and move around as well, which also helps you. But the offensive line needs to be clutch in red zone situations, and the offense needs to be extremely efficient to, again, get those points on the board. You can't turn, you know, red zone opportunities into no points because you fail on a fourth and goal. You can't take, you know, first and goal opportunities and turn those 7 points into three because you had to settle for a field goal. Got to be efficient. And to me, that starts with the offensive line. Number seven, a step forward, even if it's ever so slight, from Jordan Love. Now, do I think the Packers can win the Super Bowl with the same version of Jordan Love that we saw at the end of last season? Yes, I do. But I just want to see a small incremental step forward. Now, if it's better than that, even better, even greater. But if I even see a small incremental improvement, and it could be in just one area, can the deep ball efficiency be a little bit better? Or the amount of layups that, you know, we saw some missed layups from Jordan Love a season ago, just the easy ones. Do those layups become automatic in 2024? It's one thing. One of the things that Aaron was so great at early in his career, middle of his career, was he would constantly look for one or two things that he could improve every single offseason. He would want to keep everything that he was doing great already great. And then was there one thing that he could really focus on and make that better? You know, for Jordan, again, can you hit the layups with a little bit more consistency? Can you hit the deep ball? Can you just find one of those things that you do incrementally better? Take it one step at a time while keeping everything else great. Can the footwork be a little bit better? Maybe a little less of the ad lib sort of throwing off platform stuff and a little bit more consistency with the mechanic, whatever it is. Can there just be that small incremental improvement? And most importantly, no steps backwards. That's the big thing here, but I want to see even a little bit of a step forward. I think that would clearly help with your Super Bowl push this upcoming year. Number eight, another impressive rookie class. That's what it's going to take, because here's the thing. this rookie class maybe doesn't need to be quite as good as what it was a season ago, but you're going to have some pretty big players in some pretty high leverage positions. It's safe to say that Javon Bullard is probably going to start at safety. I think it's safe to say Edgerrin Cooper is going to be one of your core starting linebackers throughout the course of the year. I think Marshawn Lloyd is going to be, at least have a real opportunity to be your number two running back. I think Jordan Morgan, whether it's to start the year or with some injuries that take place, will be counted on to be a starting offensive lineman for this team for probably a decent chunk of the year. And I guarantee you some of these other rookies are going to have to contribute as well, whether it's on special teams or offense or defense. It's going to happen. Evan Williams or Ketanil Adapo maybe have to get some playing time at safety due to injuries. Who knows? Maybe Kalen King has to step up. I don't know who or what or why or when, but this is going to have to be a rookie class that still performs at a high level, specifically those starting players or those contributing players in Lloyd, Morgan, Edgerrin Cooper, and Javon Bullard. Those are the guys that are going to have to be pretty darn good, and this rookie class is going to have to, you know, really deliver. Like I said, maybe not quite as much as last year, but still in a significant way if this team wants to reach its ceiling. Number nine, we need to see a Josh Jacobs that's closer to 2022 than the version we saw in 2023. Doesn't have to be exact, doesn't have to be all pro, but we need to see a good Josh Jacobs. For the a million and second time, we saw last year the running back group without Aaron Jones, and it wasn't great. They had no playmaking ability. It was just pedestrian at best. When Aaron Jones was in there, the offense was epic. They were a nightmare for opposing defenses. Do you try to stop the run first and then Jordan Love and this passing attack can beat you? Do you try to stop the passing attack and then Aaron Jones beats you? It's just constantly dealing with a double-edged sword. If Josh Jacobs is closer to that 2022 version of Josh Jacobs, look out, because you're going to have that double-edged sword all day, every day. Do you want to take Josh Jacobs out of the game, or do you want to try to stop Jordan Love in the passing attack? And whatever one you're trying to take away, Matt LaFleur is going to spam the other one heavily, guaranteed. He'll take the mismatch every single time. So if Jacobs can be that guy, if he can be what we saw out of Aaron Jones last year, but for hopefully, fingers crossed, 17 games, whew, good luck defenses, because this is going to be an offense that's extremely potent. And you're going to have to pick your poison on almost every single game and maybe even on every single play. That's how good this offense can be with a Josh Jacobs that is as talented as the version we saw in 2022. Number 10, we need a pretty darn dominant Rashawn Gary and Jaire Alexander. I think those two are so key to the defense's success and to the team's success. Jaire, to me, still has the ability to be an all-pro corner, and Rashawn has the ability to be the big time true difference maker as a pass rusher up front. You've got to have a guy that can get there with regularity and that you've got to double team and constantly be afraid of if you want to be an intimidating defense. There are few defenses that are great that don't have that really big time pass rusher. Now, Green Bay can pass rush with Gary Smith, Enagbare, LVN, Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, blitzing from the second level. They can do it in a lot of different ways. It doesn't just have to be Gary, but my goodness, does it make everyone else's job easier if Rashawn Gary can be that guy? And we've seen him be that guy in spurts. We saw it in 2022 before the injury. We saw it 2023 after the injury, before he kind of hit that wall midway through the year. But now can we see it for a full season? And Jaire just needs to get at that level where he was, where, you know, prior to the shoulder injury, really, where he was one of the top true, I'm not going to say shutdown, but elite corners in the NFL. They need those two guys. I talked about it earlier. You got to have some greatness. You've got to have some guys that are just huge difference makers. And Gary and Alexander can be those difference makers, but they really need to be at the top of their game if this team wants to make that true legitimate Super Bowl run. Number 11, they got to get hot at the right time. This similar to last year and similar certainly in 2010, it's great. Like, look at 2011, right? The year after 2010, that team was hot all throughout the year. They got cold at the wrong time. They hit, you know, they get the loss towards the end of the year to take away the perfect season. Then they lose in the first round of the playoffs. This were nothing like they were early in the year. Like, you need to be the right team at the right time, playing its best football, getting some advantageous matchups, and make your run towards that playoffs and through the playoffs. But if they're not peaking at the right time and you get some adversity and they don't respond to it well, well, good luck. You're just not going to make it through. So we talked about earlier, this defense and its new defensive coordinator and Jeff Hafley peaking at the end of the year, playing its best football. It's the whole team. They all got to be playing at that level and they got to be ready to make that run into January, February, because even if you're playing your absolute best football at the right time, it is still hard to navigate the playoffs. The teams are just too good and you're just not going to survive very long. If it's a team that's, you know, hitting a wall or struggling at the wrong time, you're not going to make it through. So that is going to be another huge one. Right team at the right time for the right reasons all over again, kind of like we saw at the end of last year and certainly like we saw in 2010. And then number 12, the ability, last but not least, the ability to overcome adversity. Firm believer that even the best teams that look phenomenal have to overcome adversity at some point. And whether that's an in-season stretch where they struggle, whether that's question marks earlier in the year that they figure out and get answered and are, again, playing their best football at the end of the year, I don't know what it is. Or maybe it's just a team that has to, you know, overcome adversity in the playoffs, meaning maybe they go down two scores in the NFC Championship game, but they find a way to overcome it. There's been a team in the past that when they get behind in playoff games, it's not been pretty. They have not been able to erase those deficits and overcome. It's been kind of one of their downfalls is they haven't had that comeback ability. And this is going to be a team that's going to face adversity in the season and in the playoffs. They got to meet it head on and they got to use some of the experience that they took away from the playoffs last year and put it towards this year and overcome wherever that may happen. Even though they're a young team, they have a little bit of that experience from last year. Can you overcome the adversity and be the team that you need to be at the end of the year to make that run? I'll say it one more time. I do not think that this team needs a perfect storm and all 12 of these things to go exactly perfect in order for that Super Bowl run to happen. I think they've got some accident forgiveness because of the talent they have in this team, because they should continue to get better. And because I just think they're a Super Bowl contending team as is. I don't think they need anything special. They don't need three wishes from a genie. They just need to be themselves and continue to get better. All right. But if you told me that they were Super Bowl champions on February 9th, I would say a lot of the things that we discussed today came true and allowed them to play their best football. And that's avoiding catastrophic injuries, keeping the arrow trending in the right direction and continuing that development. Jeff Hafley's defense working a normal run-of-the-mill average special teams at worst, a reliable kicker, red zone efficiency and improved offensive line play in the red zone, a step forward, even if slightly, from Jordan Love, another impressive rookie class, a closer to 2022 Josh Jacobs, a dominant Rashawn Gary and Jaire Alexander, getting hot at the right time and showing that they can overcome adversity. Listen, it's a tough league. The Packers are going to be challenged, but they have every right to be in the championship conversation. You need progress. You need the team to peak at the right time. And let's be real, you need a little bit of luck too. But if all things come together and this team peaks the way that they have the ability to peak, if they can become what they are hopefully destined to become, this can be a team that truly, I believe, absolutely can win a Super Bowl and bring a Lombardi back to Green Bay. You excited for the season yet? I know I am. I cannot freaking wait. This is going to be a really fun team. If you're not as optimistic, if you're a Vikings or Bears fan and you want to know how the opposite's going to work, well, tomorrow we will have you covered and I'll go over some of the pitfalls that could distract Green Bay, that could get them off track, that could make it so that this team not only doesn't win a Super Bowl, but takes a step back from 2023 and regresses in 2024. Not what we're hoping for, but what the list will hopefully provide us with is the pitfalls to avoid and to kind of watch for as this 2024 season goes along. That'll be tomorrow. The following day will be realistic expectations for this team and how we can kind of go about setting those as we go into the season. Because if we all expect Super Bowl and then it's anything less, we leave disappointed. Like, so we've got to be realistic about the expectations that we set for this team. That will be in a couple days. It's a three-part series. Today's the fun one, how they win the Super Bowl. I hope you enjoyed it. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, and Dan Guestford. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.